Blog Talk Radio. My Blog Talk listeners out there, this is Chocolate Lady 64, and all I can say is hot. I know everybody's trying to deal with the heat wave that's been hitting us real hard. It's been hitting us. Actually, today was the first day that it actually did a storm, which we really much needed. today, we're going to have an exciting show tonight. Sorry, I'm fumbling with my words. I had an opportunity to talk to one of my instructors, which is a private investigator, and he owns his own company. His name is Timothy Burr. So what I wanted to start with that first is to play the interview, and please just pay attention to it, but don't pay attention to the way that I recorded it. I didn't do it correctly. For me, it's not correct. So I'm hoping you guys can understand what he's saying. If he's not, then I'll have to do another show with him, bring him back, and we can talk to him live. Also, later on in the show, we're going to also talk to my essay winner. I had an essay I was running. It's a contest, and I had a contest. It was called, If You Had the Money to Start Your Own Business, What Would It Be? And I had a winner to that. Her name is Kimberly Bowman, so we'll be talking to her later on in the show. So right now, just let me go ahead and play the interview that I had with Mr. Timothy Burke. I'm hoping you guys just sit back, and I hope you guys learn something. He is very interesting, and he was a great instructor, okay?
Listeners out there, this is Chocolate Lady 64, and I'm here speaking with Mr. Timothy Burke. And Mr. Timothy Burke is a private investigator, and also he's an instructor. So, I would like to first start out and ask Mr. Burke, how are you today, sir?
I'm well, how are you?
I'm fine. Let's do this. Let's start off by you telling me more about who you are and what you do.
Well, I do a lot of things, but I'm a private investigator that works for a company, but I also have my own agency where I work on my shelf. I really don't do a lot of investigating for the chip. Hurricane Katrina, and just focus my attention more on being an instructor for new private investigators and teach continuing education for private investigators to rebuild their lives.
Yes, because I had a very great opportunity to be one of your students, and I learned so much, and I really thank you for all the help that you gave given me even after the class. You know.
My pleasure.
Okay, now, what made you pick this type of field?
When I was a kid, I always wanted to be in the law enforcement field or the investigative field, but my first choice, my first love was architecture, drafting, and design, believe it or not.
Huh?
And I was, going through junior high school, scholarship for college, all of that was for drafting. And my first job was in 1984 Olympics in Los Angeles. And it was working in security for the Olympics around that time. And I fell in love with this thing. I was talking to this police officer that sort of fell in love with this thing as far as being a police officer and security and all that kind of good stuff. And the rest, as they say, is history. I wanted to change my major in college and went from drafting to criminal justice and went into law enforcement for a couple of years, went 2.5 years after three. From there, went into law school in 2002. I started looking into learning law business and being a private investigator after 20 years of being in law school in regional law school in. Started my own GI business in 2002 and been doing it ever since.
Okay. Now, how do you juggle family life and business? Is that a hard thing for you to do?
Well, you know, it used to be extremely hard, but not anymore. I'm more or less,
you did some writing, right, on some of your instruction manuals?
What I do for my students, if you take can tell. But if you take a course this year, then you automatically receive a free course for the following year. So I always offer 1 year you pay for, the following year it's absolutely free, no strings attached. But then most courses, there is a charge, or all courses, there's a charge for 8 hours of continuing education.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good. That helps out the students. Get it back. How do I start getting work? How does that work? Do I need to go look out for work, or do I need to be under somebody or whatever? You know, do I need to work for another service in order for me to get the work that I need to build up my repertoire, I guess you would say?
Or as a private investigator. And you're going to have to work under someone, but after a 3-year period, after working under an agency, then you can sort of venture out and become your own agency as a private investigator and seek out your own client. And is it rewarding? Yes. Does it take time? Yes. Do you need to have good teachers and experience in it? Yes. But once you go through that process, then it's very rewarding, depending on the types of clients that you get.
Okay. Now, do I need to get a gun? I want to say gun. Do I need to have a weapon as a private investigator?
No.
Okay.
No.
You know,
no, I don't.
I was just going to say that's such a big misconcept that you have to carry a gun.
It is. And, you know, there's nothing in the book that says that you have to have a weapon. I don't encourage anyone to go out and buy a gun. It's not that I say that you can't, but I don't encourage anyone to carry a weapon because with a weapon comes certain responsibilities as well. And you shouldn't be putting yourself in positions where you would have to use a gun to defend yourself. And you have to remember that. You know, you're not a private investigator. You're considered a private citizen that is going out and investigating for a client or a private citizen themselves. You're not a police officer, and you shouldn't put yourself in positions to defend yourself that way.
Oh, okay. Okay, that's interesting, because I didn't realize that you didn't have to carry a gun, because, you know, they have, you know, we watch the movies and we think everything that's on the movies is how things are. You know, they have the little hat on, like you said earlier, the trench coat and the guns, you know, strapped to the side like a police officer, when we know that's not true.
That's not what you don't want to in a real world of private investigation, it's you're getting dirty sometimes, you're sitting on long trains, you're sitting in hot cars in the middle of summer, you're laying out in the middle of a field, you know, and the rain is just coming down, but you have to get that shot for your client.
Uh-huh.
And 99.99% of the time, you're not in a position to where you're silent in that way, or your safety is not challenge. I mean, if you look at the PIs that's on TV, like Cheaters, those guys, you know, that's the drama part of, you know, Hollywood. They go out and they seek out confrontation.
Uh-huh.
They kill a private investigator. We don't seek out any types of controversy, or we don't seek out any type of violent behavior from anyone. What we're doing is we're collecting information. We're out trying to gather information for our clients. We're shot fighters, and that's it.
Okay.
And 9 times out of 10, you're in your car trying to stay away from conflict rather than engage in it.
Okay. So you're like in the background. You don't really need them to know that you're out there doing your job. That's the whole point of being a private investigator.
That's the whole point. You don't want to, once you give the information to your client, whatever they choose to do with that information, then that's between your client and, you know, their spouse or whoever, you know, they're asking you to go out and look at.
Uh-huh.
But typically, you don't go out with video cameras and see the fight, you know, on the end result of your work. You don't go out doing that.
Okay. Okay. Now, I heard you say earlier that you have your own business. You want to elaborate on that?
I do. It's called D&B Investigative Services. necessarily in the regional environment. And when I say regional, it's not necessarily just clothing or mom and pop stores. It's any outlet or any business that either sells merchandise or needs someone to go inside of their business and find out what's going on. We have a website that's at www.gavispi.com, and anyone can go and look at our website and have a better understanding of who we are.
So how do you spell Davis? Spell that for me.
It's Dan and David.
Mm-hmm.
Dan and Alpha.
Mm-hmm.
Dan and Alpha.
Mm-hmm.
Dan and Boy.
Mm-hmm.
I as in Isaac.
Mm-hmm.
S as in Sam.
Uh-huh.
Dan and Paul. I as in Isaac.
Okay. That's
so it's Davis.
P I.
It's an acronym. It's Davis P I.
Okay.
We use that acronym because D&D Investigative Services is just a little along with it.
Okay. So this would be the way, say if I wanted to use your services, would this be the way that I would contact you, by going on the website? What is on your website?
Absolutely. On our website, we have a contact where you can email us directly.
Uh-huh.
And if you reach your friends, you become one of our clients. We have what's called a client court, where we would give you a number or a reference number, and you can key in that reference number to pull up any invoices, to pull up any reports, to pull up any video, to pull up any audio transmission. That is your space in order to see what's going on with your particular case. For our students, for continuing education, it doesn't necessarily have to be a private investigator. If it's a business owner that wants to take a course, they can go onto our website under continuing education. They can click on the registration form, fill out the registration form, and send us an email, and we'll pick up on that email and be able to register students. So it's a really interactive and a really user-friendly website.
Uh-huh. Oh, okay. Very interesting. Now, let me ask you this, and I should have asked you this earlier. Is being a private investigator a very lucrative business? I was just saying, or it depends on the jobs that you get.
And not necessarily jobs, because you can go out and focus your attention on 100 jobs a month. And, it's a very lucrative business. It's just a matter of how much time and effort that you put into the business. With my business, everything is based off of a contract.
Uh-huh.
And we sit down and we negotiate a contract. And whatever that contract is, it can range anywhere from simple as a $4,000 contract to a $100,000 contract. It just depends on the type of work, the type of information that's needed, the type of manpower that's needed for the job, the type of effort that we're going to put into that job. And that deals with any types of private investigation business. It's just a matter of how much effort you put into it is what you're going to get out of it.
Okay. And that makes sense. That makes lots of sense. Now, we've already discussed how long the time limit is before I can open up my own agency, and we did agree to that it would be 3 years, right?
Yes.
Okay. Now, once those 3 years are up, how would I go about getting to the process where I want to do my own agency or open up my own agency, that is?
Well, what you would do is there's an application that you would have to fill out. It's an 18-question application.
Other than what we've already discussed?
Well, you know, it's just the only thing that I can say is being a private investigator is that type of business. your honor, freedom to be all you are. If you're not a person that likes sitting behind a desk, then, hey, you can also have an investigator. I'm one of those guys, even now, and I'm driving to another destination. You're always on the road, you always see something new, you always have an opportunity to meet different personalities, and it's a very, very rewarding business if you really want to do it and you really want to put your time and effort into it.
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
Okay, then. Well, Mr. Timothy Burke, it was lovely talking to you. I had a great time, and I'm hoping to speak with you again soon. Because, you know, I probably have some questions to ask you after I get started with my situation. So I will be very much keeping in contact with you. Thank you very much again for your time, and you have a nice evening. Bye-bye.
Thank you as well, okay?
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. That was my interview with Mr. Timothy Burke, and if you go on the website, on my website, you'll see, matter of fact, you can go on Facebook, and it'll show you where his website is for you guys who are interested in private investigating. I promise you guys, this is a great business. I'm just getting started. I finished. He was my instructor during my class. Did a great job. I surprised myself. Very good information. It's an exciting business. But you got to know what you're doing, and you got to know the laws of anything that you do. You need to make sure you do your research so that you won't make a mistake and you wind up losing your license. That's the most important thing, is to know what you're doing when you're doing private investigation work. You have to know what your boundaries are, and that's very, very much important. Okay, I have on the line here, I have Ms. Kimberly Bowman. Excuse me, Ms. Kimberly. She is my contestant winner of my essay, If You Had the Money to Start Your Own Business, What Would It Be? And she was the one who won, and she's going to get three copies of these books that will help her in her endeavor into starting her own business and doing what she needs to do for herself. Hello there, Miss Kimberly.
Hi. Carrie, how are you?
All right. How's everything going?
It's going great, thank you. And you?
All right. How's the weather? You're in Ohio, right?
Yes, I'm in Cleveland Heights, Ohio.
Okay.
A suburb right outside of Cleveland.
Okay. And how's the weather up there?
Very humid. Very humid. We're looking for some storms tonight.
Uh-huh.
We had some last night, but they didn't roll in too strong. But so far, the weather is perfect.
Oh, and y'all enjoying that, because I know up north, that's not usual for you guys.
No, actually, in the summertime, we have great summers, but it's just the winter.
Okay.
It's just the wintertime, yes.
Okay. So, Miss Kimberly, tell me about what was the business that you were thinking of doing or are doing right now. Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
Sure, it's a home health care staffing agency, and I would like to get started. And it's an agency that staffs health care workers, anywhere from nursing assistants, medical assistants, phlebotomists, nurses. And you go to different facilities and work, hospitals, nursing homes. You can go into the client's home and do, like, small chores for them or do run errands. And I would like to get started on that. I named it after my mom. The name of it is McCall's Home Health, and I named it after her. She passed away last year, so in her honor, I named my agency after her. So far right now, it's in the works of getting started. I still have to get all the necessary licenses and permits and everything that Ohio requires before you can open up an agency.
Okay. Okay, now, in the state of Ohio, like say if I wanted to do it, what would I need to do to get started? How would I go about getting all the information together?
First of all, you go, the website is ohio.gov.
Okay.
And you go online and you go into the site where you have to looking for businesses or starting a business venture. And what you do is you contact someone from the Department of the State of Ohio, and they will give you the necessary information. They will actually send you the papers out showing you what all you need for tax forms, your different PIN numbers you need, EIN numbers, which are the state employee numbers that you would need if you're going to have employees, how many employees that you will be hiring, all the necessary papers that you need in order to start a business. You have to have the name of the business. You have to get all those papers filed with the Ohio Department of Taxation. You have to go through the Ohio Department of Safety, OSHA. These are some of the different entities that you need to speak with before you can actually start, because you just can't start the business. You can actually be fined. You have to know which type of, if you're going to be sole owner or if you're going in a partnership. And I'm going under LLC, which is limited liability. So that way I'll basically be running the business myself. I don't have a partner, you know, going in with me.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to have all these necessary papers before you can get started. They have to be filed with the state of Ohio, and then they'll give you all the necessary PIN numbers and employee ID numbers before you can get started. And they'll take you step by step, but you have to contact Ohio.gov, ask for the information, and they give you all anything you need to know. Ohio will give it to you. And Ohio is very strict when it comes to the laws of, you know, running your businesses, and they're real strict about that. You have to go letter by letter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they find any kind of flaws or anything in your business, they can't stop you in your tracks. So
mm-hmm.
I'm taking my time getting everything in order because I want to make sure it's right.
Exactly. You don't want to get started and get closed down for something simple you forgot.
Exactly. So right now I'm taking my time and trying to make sure all my T's are crossed and my I's are dotted before I jump, into, you know, something that they would shut me down in a heartbeat for.
Okay. Now, is that your background, healthcare?
Yes, it is. I've been in the healthcare field actually 23 years.
Oh, man.
It will be 24 years because my daughter was born and she'll be 24 this month, but it will actually be 24 years. I started out as a nursing assistant, and I'm currently still staying certified as a nursing assistant. I don't let my certifications fall or, you know, expire. You know, it's always good to have those.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of the background requirements that the state have, that you have to have some type of background in healthcare.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I'm a medical assistant phlebotomist, and I work currently as a phlebotomist. I go around to different agencies, to companies, and we do, like, healthcare screenings on their employees.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that includes drawing blood and doing blood pressures and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. So you're very busy already, so you'll know already what you need to do, huh?
Yes, I will be starting my classes online with AIU, American International University, to get my healthcare degree, my associate degree as a healthcare management. So
okay.
I want just that extra push.
Yeah,
you know, to make sure I have my everything right, so I can, when I go to open up this business, it's going to be right.
Yeah.
It's going to be right.
Exactly. So do you have an estimated time line that you're working with?
I was thinking somewhere in the lines of next year, maybe in the summer or fall of next year.
Okay.
And everything will be lined up, you know, where I want it to be before I just, you know, open it up. Because right now I'm still looking at different buildings.
Yeah, that's
what, you know, you have to get permission
and
everything.
I was going to ask you, that was going to be my next question about the building. You have to pass a building inspection, OSHA, all of that stuff has a lot to do. Any type of agency that's dealing with Medicare and patients, it is a very delicate area. And you have to know what you're doing when you're doing that. You definitely have to know when you're opening up a business.
My agency also, I would like to provide training, because you can have workers, but to me, and I'm real passionate about the elderly, I've been working with elderly so long, and I work mainly with Alzheimer's.
Uh-huh.
And my passion is to provide adequate training to those who will one day go into a nursing home, and you have to know what you're doing, because working with Alzheimer's, working with the elderly is a delicate subject on its own, but when you're working with Alzheimer's patients, you have to have patients to work with them, because it's like they're on a whole different level from us, as we call our norm. It's not their norm anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you have to work on a different level when it comes to taking care of Alzheimer's patients. And to speak on that, I am in the process also of completing my book by December, and it's based on my years of working with Alzheimer's patients. And it's called In the Eyes of Alzheimer's. So,
that's a plug? Did you just do a plug? I'm going to have to invite you back then once you do that. Once you get your book finished, I'm going to have to invite you back for the book then, huh?
Oh, I'm looking forward to it. It's really in-depth on my years of experience and my passion with working with Alzheimer's and everything it entails when people, you know, the nursing assistants or nurses, anyone who works in the healthcare field who works with Alzheimer's, it's one thing to see the ads on television and circulars talking about the Alzheimer's walk or, you know, giving to the foundation. It's not enough emphasis focused on Alzheimer's like it is on cancer and, you know, everything else. But Alzheimer's is another disorder. I don't like to call it a disease because, to me, my definition of a disease is something you contract. I call it a disorder because it's something that happens to you that you have no control over.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So I call it a disorder. And, you know, it's going to be a great book. So, you know, I'm looking forward to finishing up and, you know, hopefully it will help someone who has a family member who has this disorder, you know, because there are steps. Some patients go through 0 to 10 in a matter of months, you know, with this disorder. So It'll be a great thing, you know, and I'm looking forward to getting my business up and running and trying to train adequate staff, you know, to help take care of these people that are suffering from this disorder.
Exactly, and training is so important for employees.
I
noticed some people or some employers ask you, do you need training? Instead of asking, that should be a mandatory part of that person's performance, is to get the training so that they know what they're doing at all times. You don't ask an employee, do they need training? You give that employee training, you know.
Right. Some agencies or nursing homes or assisted living facilities, you do have to have so many required hours, too.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Just, you know, just small amounts of training, you know, like refreshing courses.
Exactly.
But I think it needs to be extensive training because you have a lot of people who don't have patience.
Exactly.
And they snap and do something to a person who can't help themselves. And, you know, it's not right for people to abuse. And I worked at a facility where something like that happened, you know, but the thing is, the nursing assistants or whomever needs that adequate training, and I can't stress that enough. You know, you need that extensive training.
Well, I thank you very much, Ms. Bowman, for calling in, and congratulations again.
Thank you.
And I definitely will be contacting you again once you get going with your business, your agency, that is. And we can talk about how far you've gotten and all the steps that you've taken to get where you're at and the stumbling blocks, because you know there's going to be stumbling blocks.
Absolutely.
You know,
even
though when you think your T's are crossed and your I's are dotted, there's always going to be something we forget.
Yes.
So
all the time.
So we're going to talk about that when you come back. I am definitely going to invite you back, okay?
Thank you for having me.
You have a nice evening.
Okay, you too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, you guys, see, I interviewed, I did everything I was supposed to do that I said I was going to do. I had an essay contest. She had a great layout, and I only asked for 200 to 500 words. She did a great job on her essay, and that's why I picked her essay to do. And that was one of the stipulations, or the prizes was, she gets 3 books, and plus she gets to get interviewed on the show. So I think I did a wonderful job tonight, and I have to say that for myself because I have to work on my recording, my pre-recordings. I've got to come up with another solution to that because I'm not too happy with that. And I can say it because it's my show, and I want my show to be clear, and I want you guys to understand what's being said so that you won't miss it no matter how many times you listen to it, that you keep, you hear what's going on. The ideal that I got a chance to talk to my instructor, because I told him I wanted to interview him when we did the class, because it's so interesting what he does. It really is. And I took the class because I wanted to be a private investigator. Once I've taken the class and I got all my stuff together, and you have to find your own sponsor. And it was so funny that I started calling. I had a list. If you go on the website, each state has their own list, have their own website for private investigators. So when I went on ours and I just started listing off, you know, agencies that I would like to work for, it's like the second agency I called, like, yeah, we'll take you in. So when I got a chance to talk to them and explain to them what I wanted to do, they said, guess what, why don't you be your own boss and we'll sponsor you. And what it's called a journeyman. So I'm in the process of acquiring my journeyman's license. It costs more than a regular license, but the idea that I'm going to be considered an independent contractor, that is awesome. And they'll give me work to do, but I can negotiate it the way I want to. So I like that. That gives me free reins to do my own thing. And in 3 years, I'll have my own agency. So I think that's a very interesting thing. Let's talk about what's going on today. Let's see. I'm just so still excited that I was able to do this tonight, you guys, because I stress every time I do my shows. I stress because I think something is not going to work out. So, and I know I've got to stop doing that. But I'm seeing that things are starting to work itself out, getting the kinks out and stuff, which is a good thing. Oh, I have another thing I want to talk to you guys about. I just finished my first novella. It should be out, I'll say, in the next couple of days because I've been working on it very, very hard, and it's called Secret Journal. And I will be talking about it a little bit more later on once everything has been worked out, the kinks have been worked out again, and I had so many problems with putting it together. Just like, I can't wait to finish this. So finally I got it done, so I'm waiting for an approval, and then that'll be hitting the stores. So hopefully in the next couple of days I should be ready to announce that, and we'll talk about that on the next show. Let's see, I want to talk about what's going on today. Okay, we know that the oil spill, they're working on blocking it. They're saying by the end of this month it should be stopped, which is a great thing. I hate to say you guys, that is such a terrible thing to say is because sounds like you don't know what you're talking about or you don't know what to say next, which actually I don't know what to say next. But anyway, here I go again. Okay, I tell you what, every time I say I want you guys to email me and tell me to stop saying it because it's not really good for me to say. Paul. How does that sound? I have to work on getting my next interviewee on. There is a lady or a writer. Her name is Dangerous Lee. And if I'm not mistaken, she's been on Blog Talk Radio on another channel once or twice. And I really want to get her on here because she wrote this book called Keep Your Panties Up and Your Legs Down. And I really, really, truly want to get her on and interview her about her book because I've heard a lot about it, and I just so happened heard about her on another show, and and that's why I was like, okay, yeah, I got to have her on. So I'm going to be trying to work with her, and I know she's doing a lot of stuff because we kind of communicate on Facebook from time to time, or I see stuff she's doing. I want to get her on, too, to talk about her book. I don't want you guys to think that my show is strictly about books, but there's so many writers out there that I had no idea that they were out there. And I love to read books people write, and I love to find out, you know, to actually talk to the person to get to see what their mindset is, set was when they took on the endeavor to write the book. So that's why I like to talk to a lot of writers, and it seems like I'm connecting with the right people, and I love it. I really love it. I love my interview with LaDonna. I love my interview with Elaine. It was just awesome. And Ms. Bowman just told me that she's writing one, and then also Mr. Burke said he's writing one. So, you guys, this is, I mean, our community is awesome if we just learn how to connect. I like to, like I said, I like to do things outside the box. It doesn't have to be in this little, you know, secure little area. I like to learn things from everybody because it's amazing how much knowledge is out there. And I always say knowledge is power. And learning things and coming out of your safety zone is so important. It's so important because we miss out on so much when we don't want to learn things or when we don't care about what's going on somewhere else. I try to keep myself very much informed on what's going on in the community, what's going on in the world, in society alone. It's very important. So, there I go. I said again. I got to get rid of that Oh, dog. You guys, I keep saying it. You got to stop me. Stop me. I had another opportunity to read a book. The lady, her name is Miss Karen Hunter. And she, I'm trying to figure out what is the name of the book. Golly, I just forgot. Oh, my God, that's so bad. Well, anyway, once I get the name, I'll bring it back to you guys, and we'll talk about it. It was a very good book. Very, very informative. Things that I have been saying to myself all the time, she put it down, which was, to me, amazing. I was, like, just blown out that somebody actually blown over that somebody actually, all the things I have been saying within myself or to people around me, that somebody actually put in the book so that thousands of people or millions of people can read it. So I shouldn't even mention it because I don't have the book in front of me. My husband just so happened brought it home, and he's like, babe, you need to read this. And when I picked it up the first time, I couldn't put it down. And I didn't put it down until I actually completed it. Because usually with books, I don't read them. I do audio books most of the time. But I actually sat down and read that book, and it really educated me. There's that again. So I'm going to look into seeing if she's a very, very busy lady. Her name is Karen Hunter. And I'm going to see if I can get her on my show. I don't know if she's done a Blog Talk Radio show before, and if she hasn't, I definitely really, really would love to get a hold to her and interview her because she's saying so many things that I've been saying for so long about our African-American community and how we see each other and how we act among each other. Or how we treat each other, you know, and it's very the book covers all aspects of who we are as African Americans, our neighbors, you know, our spouses, you know, she talks about everything, and it's just so important that information gets out there. I'm sorry, you guys. I was trying to look for the title of that book. Okay. I got it. The name of the book is Stop Being Niggardly. And you have to know what that word is. If you ever hear that word, it might be offensive to some people, but you have to understand what the word means. The name of the book, again, is called Stop Being Niggerly, and it's by Karen Hunter. Okay? Matter of fact, today she was on MSNBC around 3:30 today, and she was talking about whether President Obama is being progressive enough. And she's talking about his approval rating. I wish I would have watched that today. I didn't get an opportunity to watch it today. So she's out there. So it would be nice to get her on my show, along with Miss Dangerous Lee, which would be very much so awesome. Let's see, there's that arm again. So. Since I didn't even give you out my call-in number, which is very bad. That's very, very. I never do that, and I got to start doing that. It's not that I just keep forgetting to give out that number, especially if I'm having a pre-recorded show. You can't call in. Everybody knows that you can't call into a pre-recorded show. But you can send me emails to let me know how you felt about the show. Did you learn anything? Did you understand it? If you didn't, let me know so that I can probably work on getting that person back for them to redo the show or, you know, to elaborate on more of the things that they talked about, the subject that we talked about. And as you know, the call-in number is 347-677-1749, even though I only have 3 minutes left to the show. That is my call-in number if you want to write it down, 347-677-1749. Or you can always come back and listen to the show over and over again on Blog Talk Radio, Chocolate Lady 64. And when you go on there, you can see my number and you can write it down and leave it near your laptop or your computer. So when I do have live shows, you guys can call in. Like tonight, you could have called in tonight, but I didn't give you the number. I'm falling off my game. I got to work harder, huh? Well, you guys, I want to say thank you guys for listening in. I'm hoping you guys have a great weekend. And, oops, I said om again. I'm hoping you guys have a safe weekend. We know that school is almost time for it to get back in, and I hope you guys have gotten all your school shopping out the way. And also, you guys remember now, we have another holiday coming up. I think it's Labor Day in September that comes up, which will be another day. Maybe we'll get a good topic around that time to talk about. Hopefully I can get another author in here by then. So I am going to sound off. I thank you guys for listening in. You guys have a great evening. This is Chocolate Lady sounding off. Good night.